Well, it's a joy to get to be here with you all and to talk about something that's really a subject that is very, very personal for me. The summer between my eighth grade year and my freshman year in high school, I was in Indianapolis. My dad and I had flown up to Indianapolis to see the Indianapolis 500 car race. And on our way back home to fly to Dallas, we were in the airport, and I stumbled upon a magazine sitting in one of the seats at the airport that someone had left behind. And it was a magazine that had all different types of images of women in it. And I took that magazine and I hid it in my bag and I took it home with me. And that decision began what I would call a 7-year addiction to pornography. I struggled all throughout my high school time. And then I stepped into college and my pornography addiction really, it's like someone poured lighter fluid on the fire. And it really flourished at college as I was able to kind of hide myself in a dorm room and just kind of expose myself to a lot of different things. I would call it a 7-year addiction. And I use that word addiction, and I just want to be clear why I use that word addiction. Just to be clear, I didn't go to a shrink and get diagnosed as an addict. And I don't believe that I had a struggle that was abnormal in terms of a struggle with pornography, therefore labeling it as an addiction. I call it an addiction because it's something that I didn't want to do, but I couldn't stop doing it. And that sounds a lot like an addiction. Just like if someone's addicted to drugs, I would imagine that they use drugs and they'd like to stop, but they can't. And that's how I felt with pornography. There would be these times where I might go a few days or a few weeks or even a few months, but I always seem to find my way back to looking at pornography. That's called an addiction. And so I do want to tell you that I don't have a story to hide. The reason I'm standing on this stage is because I believe that God has given me a story to tell. And I've now been away from pornography for over 14 years because God broke me free from this struggle the summer before my senior year in college. The sad thing, though, is that it took 7 years for me to finally realize that Jesus Christ could free me from this struggle. And so I think it's so important for us to be talking about it. For you right here, whether you're in eighth grade or 12th grade or somewhere in between, I think it's so important for us to talk about it right now because of what the statistics tell us. Statistics would say that guys, 9 out of 10 guys are exposed to pornography before the age of 18. 6 out of 10 girls are exposed to pornography before the age of 18. There's a study that was done with 800 college students called Generation XXX. And it studied college students. That's who you're going to be in the next 5 years. And that study found that 87% of guys and 31% of girls have actively sought pornography out at some point in their life. The Barna Group did a study on pornography and found that 6 out of 10 people between the ages of 18 and 25 actively seek out pornography either daily, weekly, or monthly. Now, you might be sitting there saying, I don't fall in that age range. But the reality is that people are first exposed to pornography sometime between the ages of 8 and 14. So just because the study was done for 18 to 25-year-olds, those 18 to 25-year-olds were first exposed to pornography years before that. So it's possible that that statistic, that 6 in 10 actively seek it out, it could absolutely apply to you. I read one book that said that pornography will be the greatest source of immorality for Generation Z, which is who you are. You're Generation Z. You are centennials. The greatest source of immorality for your generation is pornography. But here's the interesting thing for your generation. The Barna Group did this study that showed that teenagers, that's you guys, it's hilarious and it's sad at the same time. The study showed that teenagers believed that not recycling is more immoral than looking at pornography. Isn't that crazy? People from your generation believed that not recycling is worse than looking at pornography. And so we need to talk about it, because not recycling impacts our environment, but looking at pornography, it pollutes, contaminates, and destroys your soul. It really does. And I'm speaking from personal experience. Let me just rattle off three negative effects that pornography has. There's a lot more that I could share with you, but let me just rattle off three. And then what I want to do is I want to spend the bulk of the time that I have with you just giving you a plan. If you are struggling with pornography, I want to give you a plan for how you might take steps towards freedom. I'm here today to tell you that there is hope. So if you're sitting there saying, you know what, I've tried, man, I've talked to Jesus about this a lot. I've asked him to come and do something in my life and nothing seems to be happening. I just want to tell you that there is hope today. But you need to be clear on the effects of pornography. The first effect you need to know about is this, is that pornography cultivates unrealistic expectations in your life. It cultivates unrealistic expectations. Here's what I want you to realize. I need you to know the goal of the porn industry. The goal of the porn industry is to convince you that sex in fantasy is a lot better than sex in reality. That's the goal of the porn industry, is to convince you that pleasure that you can experience in fantasy is a lot better than pleasure you can experience in reality. So just think about this. If you've ever seen a pornographic film of any type, whether it's some quick clip on YouTube or something else, if you have seen any type of pornographic movie, it's possible that one source said that it takes 3 days to film a 45-minute movie. Do you understand what that means? It means that they have to stop, they have to cut, they have to try it again, they have to have different takes, and then they need to go into a studio where they edit something to make it look like what it actually is. But when you watch that video, you're sitting there thinking, man, that's reality. I can have that, and that's just not true. So what ends up happening is your expectations in sex become unrealistic. And you know what happens is that it fosters this mentality that sex is all about you, that sex is all about you getting your needs met and your desires and your imagination fulfilled. And that's just not true. God has created sex. It's one of his greatest inventions. We see it at the beginning of the Bible, where God says in the man will leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two were one flesh. That's an introduction to sex. God is pro-sex. He's the one who thought it up. But he didn't give us sex just so that you could get what you want. No, sex is actually an opportunity for you to serve and care for your spouse. So it creates unrealistic expectations. The second thing that porn creates unrealistic expectations. The second thing that pornography does is it makes you part of the problem instead of part of the solution. I don't know if you realize this, but many of the people, especially the women that are in pornographic films or in pictures, they are actually being trafficked. They're being trafficked. So there, I have read sources where there are girls on camera who have a gun pointed at them. And I know that seems really harsh, but I'm just trying to help you see that if you're looking at something in your mind, you can convince yourself that that girl wants to be there, but the reality is she doesn't want to be there. So when you look at pornography, you're actually part of the problem. You are actually telling the people who are trafficking girls, you're sitting there saying, thank you for trafficking them. And so it makes you part of the problem instead of part of the solution. The third effect of pornography is this: porn hinders intimacy with God. It does. It hinders intimacy with God. I know that when I was your age and I was struggling with pornography, man, you know what would happen is I would look at porn, I would feel extremely guilty, and it would take me a couple of days to finally find my way back to talking to God because I didn't feel like I could approach him. It hinders that intimacy because your mind and your heart are so full of guilt and shame. You are led to believe that God He can't look at you right now. He can't listen to you right now. And that's a lie. But that's one of the effects of porn. You know, think about the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. That youngest son, he leaves his father and goes to a far off place to indulge in sin. As he was running towards sin, he was running away from his father. And so you need to know, as you're looking at porn, to move toward porn is to move away from God. You can't move toward porn and God at the same time. That doesn't make sense. Do you hear what I'm saying? So it interrupts intimacy with God. Okay, let me just fill you in real quick on what God says about porn, okay? You don't find the word porn in the Bible, but here's what you need to know. Whenever you see sexual immorality, that phrase in the Bible, you know what the Greek word is? It's porneia. It's where we get our word pornography from. Sexual immorality is really used to refer to any type of sex outside of marriage. And so, I think that anytime we see the phrase sexual immorality, we can apply it to pornography. So let me just be clear real quick on what God thinks about porn. Let me just read you a few verses. Ephesians 5:3 says this. It says, but among you, there must not be even a hint of porneia or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. So do you see that? He's saying there shouldn't even be a hint of pornography in your life because God cares about it. Listen to Colossians 3, 5, and 6. It says this. It says, put to death therefore. Do we have it on the screen? Colossians 3, 5, and 6. It says this, put to death therefore what is earthly in you, porneia, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. And one more for you, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 through 8. It says this, for this is the will of God. So if you want to know what God thinks and what he wants for your life, it says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. That means that you look more like Jesus and less like the world, that you abstain from porneia, that each of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. Okay? So here's what this means. So don't miss what I'm about to say. Here's what this means. If you have convinced yourself that God is okay with you looking at porn, you have bought into a lie. If you've bought into the lie that looking at porn just isn't that big of a deal, what you've done is you've made a deal in your own heart to disregard the Word of God. Does that make sense? Now, I'll tell you this. When I was your age, you know what I thought? I thought, well, I'm a guy and this is what all guys do. Like I remember being at a church retreat and the leader was like, you know what? 98% of guys struggle with porn and the other 2% are just lying, is what they said at this retreat. And so I was led to believe, you know what? All guys do this. And so, yeah, I don't want to look at porn, but it's kind of what guys do. But you know what the problem with that mentality that like this is just what guys do? The problem is that I wasn't just any ordinary high school guy. Because I knew Jesus Christ, I was a child of God. That's who I was. I wasn't just some ordinary high school student or middle school student or college student. I was actually a child of God. And Jesus Christ had gone to the cross for my pornography addiction. Jesus came to earth to ransom me and rip me out of my pornography addiction. So to say, you know what, this is just what guys do, you know what it did is it minimized what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. So fortunately, this pivot happened in my life where God began to lead me to freedom. And so let me just say, if you're here today, and I would imagine that I believe that there's two types of people in this room right now. That's why you're here today. Either you're here and you're struggling with porn and you're looking for some hope to get out of it, or you're not struggling with porn, but you want to know how you can be as helpful as possible to the friends in your life who are struggling with it. Both have a place here. And so let me just walk you through some basic truths that if you will put these things into practice in your life, I believe that you are going to take steps towards freedom. All right? And these are very personal to me. So let me just walk you through a few of them. The first one is be willing to do whatever it takes. That's very simple, but be willing to do whatever it takes. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, 27 to 30. He says, "You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart." He says, "If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out, throw it away. For it's better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it's better that you lose one of your members than your whole body go into hell." Now, let me just be clear. I don't believe that Jesus is encouraging you to cut off your hand or tear out your eye. Like, don't leave here today and go do that and tweet about it. Like, cut off my hand today. Hashtag D-Town 18. Don't do that, all right? That's not what Jesus is saying. But what Jesus is saying is be willing to do whatever it takes to deal with your sin. Like, don't be afraid to get extreme with your sin. Pornography isn't something that you can just baby step out of. Now, Paul says in Colossians 3, put it to death. You know what we want to do sometimes is we want to give pornography Benadryl and just hope it goes to sleep in our lives. But Paul says, no, you have to put it to death. And to put something to death in your life takes extreme measures. I'll never forget, several years ago, I was at a wedding. And the cake for the groom at the reception was just this massive guitar, which is a pretty cool cake. Just a massive cake in the shape of a guitar. And one of my second cousins was probably five at the time. And the dude, I just saw him. He was by himself, by the cake, just pacing by the cake. And he never like dropped eye contact with the cake. He was just like, his head didn't swivel at all. He just was looking at the cake. And you could just tell that this dude was drawn to the cake. And I was watching him. Not many people were around, and he just reached this moment where he couldn't contain himself anymore, and he just went in straight for the cake. The cake had not been cut yet. He took it upon himself to cut the cake and to help himself. And my other cousin saw it and pulled him away. And you know what he said? He said, "I want that guitar cake, and I want it now," just in this moment of passion. And the reason I tell you that is I think about our struggles with pornography. The reality is that some of you are sleeping with a guitar cake next to your head every night. Some of you guys work on a guitar cake for hours every day by yourself in a closed room. And if I were to ask you, hey, what's your strategy to not dip your finger into that guitar cake? You know what you would say? I'm just trying really hard. That's crazy. There's no strategy there. You need to know there is, you're only moments away from a weak spot of just saying, "I want that guitar cake and I want it now." No, you have to take extreme measures. You have to be willing to do whatever it takes. Here's what you need to realize is that there is a script to your porn use. A script, like a movie script. So just think, it's different for each of us, but answer the question, when are you most prone to looking at porn? Is it when you're in bed at night? Is it after you've seen a movie that has different images in it, nudity or sex? When is it for you? When are you most prone to looking at porn? Is it when you wake up in the morning? Is it when you get home from school? When is it? When you identify that, then you need to change the script. You need to invite people into your life, let them know the script in your life, and make plans to change it. So for me, it involved giving up any private access to the internet. That's what I had to do. I had to give up any private access to the internet. I could only use the internet when there were other people around. And you might hear that and be like, "That sounds crazy." No, being addicted to pornography when you're 30 years old, that's crazy. Letting pornography linger in your life for over a decade, that's crazy. Doing the same thing over and over and over, hoping that'll change, that's crazy. Okay? And I don't say that to shame anyone here. I'm more just saying, be willing to do whatever it takes. I came to a place where I finally just said, I don't even want there to be a 1% chance of me looking at porn. So what does that look like for you? It might mean that you need to get a filter on your phone and on your computer. Covenant eyes is a good example. But some of you guys have covenant eyes already, and you're a computer wizard, and so you just keep bypassing the filter. And if that's your story, that might tell you something. That if the filter's not working, stop baby stepping out of this thing. I loved talking to this guy last week. 15-year-old kid has a flip phone. Man, how mortifying is that to go to high school with a flip phone? Who gives a rip? If it means freedom for you, it's worth it. I lived with a guy who looked at everything I was doing to get out of porn, and he chose the route of baby stepping out of it. He played the card of, you know what, I got a filter. But he was a computer wizard, and he just kept bypassing the filter, and so we would tweak his filter, and it just never worked. And he struggled with porn for 10 more years than I did. He struggled with porn until he was 30 years old. Because he wasn't willing to do whatever it takes to be done with it. You have to understand, if you're not willing to do whatever it takes, it means that you value pornography too much. You value it too much to get rid of it. The second thing I'd encourage you to do is this. Think about what's waiting on the backside of any encounter with pornography. Think about what's waiting on the backside. Let me give you just an illustration. I used to work with a woman who was what's known as a food stylist. And this is kind of a cool job. As a food stylist, her job was to make food look as appetizing as possible for commercials. And so she actually literally painted food. She would manipulate food in such a way to make it look as appealing as possible. Have you ever been sitting and watching TV and like a commercial comes on for some restaurant or something and you're watching it and you're just like, I want that. You know, like you want to eat whatever you just saw. So you go and you eat there and you come home and then you have to spend some time sitting on the throne because your stomach is like, I'm sorry, let's just get this straight. You thought that I would enjoy eating that. See, there's a backside to your choices. And you know, pornography on the front side, it looks really appealing. It looks really satisfying. But it's interesting, the moment you look at pornography, the moment that you're done, what floods your mind? What floods your heart? Guilt. Shame. Isn't it interesting that 30 minutes of looking at porn can breed 2, 3, 4 days a week of guilt? In shame. Is that worth it? Is that 30 minutes worth the 3 days or the week? I don't know. I don't think it is. See what's on the backside of your porn. You know what I had to do? I started having to just tell myself whenever I was tempted to look at porn, I just started thinking about what would be waiting for me after looking at it. So I just began to tell myself, you know what? I can do that. I can look at porn, but I'm going to feel guilty. I'm going to feel shame. I'm going to feel like a spiritual loser. It's going to make me feel distant from God. I'm going to feel like I can't talk to him. I'm going to have to go and tell these particular people. I'm going to have to one day tell my future spouse about my struggle with pornography. This is going to hinder my impact for Christ, so it's just not worth it. I began to look at the backside of porn. Listen to what Proverbs 14:12 says. It says, there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way to death. Do you hear that? It says there's a way that seems right to man. In the end, it actually leads to death. That's pornography. It seems right. It seems satisfying. It seems that that is where life and fulfillment is found. And in the end, it leaves you empty. And it promotes death, destruction in your life. The third thing I'd encourage you to do is this. Decide to quit pornography every day. Decide to quit porn every day. See, we want to make these big commitments to God like, God, that was the last time. I cannot tell you how many times I made that commitment to God. Okay, God, that was the last time. I promise I am never going to look at porn again. I especially made those commitments at places like this, like a D-Town. It's like, man, you're in this spiritual vacuum. It's like, man, all I want to do is pursue Jesus. I'm done with it. From this day forward, I am done for the rest of my life. And then like 24 hours later, it was like, okay, Jesus, from this moment on, I'm done. We like to make week-long or month-long or lifelong commitments, commit a day to God. If a day is too long, if you're looking at porn multiple times a day, commit to be done with porn for your morning. And then after lunch, commit your afternoon. And then after dinner, commit your evening. But decide to quit porn every single day. I'll just tell you what I did. For probably the first 6 months to a year, after I decided, okay, I'm done with this thing. Every single morning, what I did is I woke up praying three things. Like I would just open my eyes and start praying it. And what I would pray is this. I would say, God, number one, may your standard of purity become my standard of purity today. Remember, God's standard is not even a hint of porneia. So God, let your standard become my standard. Number two, I am so prone to wander toward pornography today. So God, as I'm wandering, help me to see the way of escape you provide and help me to take it. You know that God always provides a way of escape. Listen to the words of 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, no temptation has overtaken you that's not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. There is always a way of escape. Do you realize that? God is always, anytime you're tempted to look at porn, he's like, yoo-hoo, over here, this is the way out. It might just be for a split second where he just steps into your mind and like, you don't have to do this. And then you push it out and you're like, no, but I'm going to. But God always gives you a way of escape. So I would pray and say, God, I'm so prone to wander into porn today. Help me to see the way of escape you provide and help me to take it. And then the third thing I would pray is this, is I would say, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit today that I might bear the fruit of self-control. Isn't that the good news? The good news is that this isn't about you being strong enough to be done with porn. This is about you allowing God to be strong enough through you to be done with porn. He's put his Holy Spirit inside of you. And one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. So decide to quit porn every day. Here's the next thing I would encourage you to do. Develop a small army. Develop a small army. I'll never forget the first time that I told a friend that I struggled with porn. I bet that I was a freshman in high school. And I remember just sitting in his living room. And it was kind of this time where I was like, I don't want to say anything. And he's probably like, I don't want to say anything, but I really want to tell somebody. And so we finally just was like, hey, I struggle with porn. Hey, me too. It was like, oh, crazy. Okay, we're in this together then. Let's help each other out. You need a small army. You need a few men or a few women who are willing to fight for you. Listen to what King Solomon says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. He says, two are better than one. That's a good rule for life. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. Watch this. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who's alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. He's just saying two are better than one. Man, if you want to experience more victory, you need to invite some people into your struggle, and you need to be very specific with them about what your struggle is. You know what we like to do? Like if you get together in your small groups and say your leader is like, hey, who wants to share? Like, what are you guys struggling with? Like, here's what guys tend to do. Man, I'm just struggling with lust. Well, that's great. But what does that mean? Like that could mean all sorts of things. What is it? The best type of friends are those who say, thank you so much for sharing that, but I don't know what you mean by that. Would you just clarify for me, what does your struggle with lust even look like? And for you to be honest and say, you know what it means is that I'm looking at porn. Here's the sites that I'm going to. Here's the words that I'm searching for. This is when I tend to do it. This is the device that I tend to use. Because you let people in. And when that light shines into your darkness, you know what? It causes the darkness to fade. And so, man, you need people who are always checking up on you, fighting for you. You need people calling you or texting you constantly, saying, man, how are you doing today? You need to call a friend and just be like, hey, let me just read you this. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Have a great day. See you. Bye. And that's it. Just an army of people reminding you of truth. I remember one time, My parents' home here in Dallas was a place where my pornography struggle really flourished when I was in high school. And so I was living in Austin, but I was coming back to Dallas for the weekend. And so you know what I did? I just started calling my small army. And I was like, hey guys, going home to my parents this weekend. Pornography will be a temptation. I need you guys checking in with me. You know what happened? They called me every single hour. So there was no temptation because I knew that the phone was going to ring. So every time they called, they'd be like, what you doing? And I'm like, not that. We're good. Thanks for calling. See ya. But it was awesome because it just nullified the threat. You need to develop a small army. I'll just tell you a few more things. You need to address the heart. You need to address the heart. Listen to what Matthew 15:19 says. It says, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. Do you know what it's saying? It's saying if pornography is a part of your life, it starts in your heart. Your actions are just symptoms of a problem in your heart. And so it's good to ask the question, why do I look at porn? The reason isn't just that you're a hormonal teenage guy or girl. That's not the answer. That's part of it. But you know what? The other part of it is that you're believing that pornography can satisfy a longing in your soul that only Jesus can really satisfy. I look back on my own struggle, and I realized that there were some insecurities in my life. I wanted to know if I was desirable to a girl. I wanted to know that I was significant. I wanted to know that I was lovable. These are legitimate desires. And I think that God allowed me to have those desires because he wanted to answer those desires with his son Jesus. For Jesus to say, you are desirable. I've made you desirable. That's why I died on the cross to show you that I desire you. You are significant because I've made you my ambassador. You are lovable. I demonstrated my love for you on the cross. Those were legitimate desires that I was trying to meet in an illegitimate way. And I think that that's what porn does for us, is because we can step into a fantasy world, and a guy or a girl in a fantasy world can be whoever you want them to be for you. And so you'll never step into a fantasy world where someone will tell you you're not desirable, you're not lovable, you're not significant. No, that person will be whoever you need them to be. But that's a lie. So it's good to address the heart and just see, like, what is it inside of me? For guys, is it that you want to feel powerful? Is it that girls and guys, do you want to just feel like you're in control, so much of your life feels out of control, so you can step into a fantasy world and you have complete control over another person? What is it? Address the heart. And here's what I'm trying to do today. I'm trying to just throw as many key truths at you as possible. I hope you've been writing these down. I didn't want to just give you one or two points. I wanted to give you tons in hopes that something would stick, you'd take it out, and it would help change. Increase your exposure to the truth. Increase your exposure to the truth. You have to understand that you have an enemy. The evil one is known as the father of lies. That's his main way of attacking you, is attacking you with lies. So think about this. You are being lied to all the time. Like when your friends are bragging about what they've done with another girl or what they're looking at on pornography, you're hearing a lie. When you drive down the road and you see a billboard, you're being lied to. When you listen to a song that's about sex, you're being lied to. When you watch a movie that has different things in it or pornography, when you look at different stuff online, you are being lied to. So a good question to ask is, how much exposure does your mind have to lies versus to the truth? If truth is the word of God, and you never spend time reading your Bible, let's just answer the question, how much exposure do you have to lies versus how much exposure you have to the truth? I would imagine that it's pretty lopsided. And so you know what I did when I was trying to step out of porn is I went to my Bible and I looked in the back and I wrote down every word I could think of that would somehow relate to porn. And then I would look up verses and I wrote all these verses down on note cards and I taped them over my bed because I slept close to the ceiling. And as I was going to bed at night, I would just read these verses and I began memorizing them. What would it look like for you to write verses down and tape them to your mirror? So when you're brushing your teeth, man, you're memorizing scripture. I also read a book. There's a great book out there today called Sex Isn't the Problem, Lust Is. It's by a guy named Joshua Harris. Fill your mind with truth. Because truth, what the scripture says is you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. David says this in Psalm 119. He says this, how can a young man keep his way pure? Isn't that why we're here today? He's asking the question, how can a young man keep his way pure? He says this, by guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Do you hear it? A lot of exposure to the truth. I'll just end. My last point for you today before I end is this. Believe that change is possible with Jesus Christ. That's it. Believe that change is possible with Jesus Christ. And some of you hear that and you already feel defeated because you're like, I believed that change was possible with Jesus. Like I've been asking Jesus to do something now for over a year or for over 2 years and I'm still struggling. I just want you to know that there's hope today. Because instead of asking Jesus to do something, I'm encouraging you to thank Jesus for what he's already done. See, it's not about Jesus doing a new work in your life. It's about you harnessing what Jesus has already done in your life. See, when Jesus Christ went to the cross, he was dealing with your pornography addiction. And when he rose from the dead, he overcame your pornography addiction so that you could overcome your pornography addiction. What Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross was he set you free from your pornography addiction. Before you were even born, Jesus Christ broke the chains of your pornography addiction. So the issue isn't asking Jesus to break the chains of your pornography addiction. The request is to ask Jesus to help you no longer put the chains of your pornography addiction back on. See, that's our tendency is we just keep picking up the chains he's already broken and we keep trying to strap them back on. Or the evil one picks them up, puts them back on our wrists very gently, so that we feel like they were never taken off in the first place. Jesus Christ already broke the chains. And what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, listen to what he says in verses 18 through 20. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the holy people. And watch this, verse 19, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly realms. Do you know what this is saying? It's saying that the same power that raised Christ from the dead is available to you today. So one of the best things you can do, even in this moment, is to ask Jesus to unleash his resurrection power into your life. And so I just want to ask us, if you will, just close your eyes real quick. And before we move on to the next thing, let's just take a moment with the Lord. And just with your eyes closed, I just want you to think, what's one or two things that you're going to take away from this time right now? Just what's the one or two things that God has said to you through this time? Maybe you need to ask God for forgiveness in this moment. But maybe you just need to experience his forgiveness. Maybe you're sitting here with guilt and shame in your life from pornography. And maybe you just need to feel just the freedom that comes with 1 John 1:9, which says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That you could leave this moment knowing that you are clean, that you're forgiven, that this is a new moment, a new start. Would you commit to just quit for today? And then when tomorrow comes, you're going to quit again tomorrow. And then would you just ask Jesus, say, Jesus, would you unleash your resurrection power in my life? Lord Jesus, I pray for these students. I thank you, Jesus, that you have already broken the chains of pornography in their lives. That's not the issue. The issue is that we tend to pick the chains back up and put them back on. Lord, I thank you that you have conquered the grave. You already overcame our pornography addiction so that we too could overcome it. And so I thank you in advance for how you will lead these students to victory, Lord. And I just pray that today would be a turning point for many, that they would begin to take steps towards freedom and that there would be more joy, more peace, more life because of what you're doing in their hearts today. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.